I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Well, good evening then.
And good night.
Fourth meal?
Last night I did have a little road trip between Dallas to Austin, and there was some fourth meals happening. There was some fourth meals happening.
Oh, really? What kind of fourth meals did you partake in last night?
Yeah. Like, you know, all right, my road trip fourth meal would be the Fritos Honey Barbecue Twists.
Oh.
I don't know why, but I only eat those chips on a road trip. I don't know why. Mm. And then I had a bag of, munchies, the munchies, but with the flaming hot munchies. And then I threw in a Big Red. You know Big Red, the soda? Big Red?
Yeah, I've never
had it.
It's
like a southern soda.
Right, yeah. Oh, I'm not a heathen, so I've never tried it. But what's it like?
No, it's liquid. It's just guzzling liquid fat. It's guzzling it. It's so good, though.
Wait, so in other words, you're saying last night you just said, fuck it.
Road trip is all bets are off. Road trip.
Last night, I am so Sypha is, we are both in the, no, I'm not going to say we're in the armpits of America. That's disrespect. And I really like a lot of Texas. However, all that being said, and I'm in Florida, and I love a lot of parts of Florida, too, even though we say a lot of crazy things about Florida. But when I tell you.
Well, they do a lot of crazy things.
Right. And what I was going to say about that was, when I tell you that I showed up to the Tampa airport, okay? Mm-hmm. When I tell you I got off the plane, and it's like, listen, I've been going to Orlando once a month, so I'm going to Tampa. Right. What's the difference? Well, I get off.
Right, what's the difference?
I'm waiting at the National Rental car in the airport.
There you go.
And the first person I see is a lady who looks like she walked straight out of the Karen's Gone Wild Instagram page. Like she stepped out of
it. Okay.
She's wearing a Trump mask around her chin. Inside, mind you. Trump mask around her chin. And I'm talking to my brother on my AirPods through my mask. And I'm like, hold on. I think I can hear her talking. And I push the little AirPod button so you can hear what's going on outside in the world.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you can either like have it cut off the sound or open it up. So I open it up and I hear her doing the second I can hear her voice is she's complaining about Fauci. And then I proceed to do what I do when I go to random cities. And I mean, I know nothing except the fact that you will have full-blown respect for what I still do on all my trips, and that is I get situated, and then I go on Google Maps, and I search for record stores and vintage shops. That's it.
Love it.
That's all I want. And I stumbled into a spot in Tampa called Wendy's Closet. I want to show them love. Yo, let me tell you about Wendy's Closet.
Wendy's Closet.
Saif, so often when I go to look for vintage, it's either...
Vintage what?
T-shirts, mostly.
Oh, got it.
So, which is where I got this gem that I'm wearing right now. A toaster's shirt, a little ska. I don't even know if I'll keep this. Maybe I'll sell it, but it's just fire.
You did some kind of laundry between shopping for that shirt and now?
No. I put this on without washing it.
You bought that in a vintage shop and threw it onto your naked body?
Not immediately. I let it sit in my hotel room overnight.
Oh, okay.
So it's
fester.
Yeah, yeah, whatever is happening is now worse. It's had time to get worse. I wasn't going to wear it, but I don't have a lot of shirts, and so I wanted to wear something on camera here that wasn't like what I was wearing looked even dumpier than this. So I was like, let me put on this vintage shirt. So I bought some shirts. I got this. I found an original Hulkamania 80s shirt. I found back in the day, Doug Flutie had a cereal, and it was called Flutie Flakes. I found a Flutie Flake shirt. I loved it. Not $15. A bootleg Dave Matthews shirt. Some fun stuff that would all resell it better should I choose to part with them later. Because, Saif, let me tell you, this market out here is you're sitting on thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in your basement. Let me tell you right now.
Oh, yeah. I got fire down there.
That fire, those hip-hop shirts are, you don't even want to see what people are paying for them. It's ridiculous. But anyways, so shouts to Wendy's. It was dope and normal, and everyone was masked. And I went to a record store, and everyone was on point. And then when I would be not in, like, a cool vintage store or a record store, like I was just on the street, when I tell you it went from 95% mass in Orlando, it's down to 40% in Tampa, St. Pete. Like, I can't believe it changes so much on city lines.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, I don't. Why is it so different from Orlando to St. Pete? So here's my question for you. When you see someone inside and they're either not wearing a mask or it's below their mouth completely, what does it make you feel anything or no?
I got to stay away because I got put in COVID jail for 3 days this week. I was in COVID jail because we went to do a podcast at our boys' studio, and then the kids came to the show afterwards and both of them tested positive. And we were around them. So me, my boy Will Sylvans, Jerobi from A Tribe Called Quest, who was our guest, and a couple other people all had to sit out these Dave Chappelle shows for 3 days as we tested negative for 3 days. And it was like that. It was like, now I'm not trying to mess with it at all. Like, if you don't have a mask on, I'm just getting away. I'm just getting away from the situation. And also, hey, fuckface.
Yep.
Don't pull your mask down to talk to me. The mask is for when you talk to me. What are you doing? Oh, hold on. You can't hear me because of this protective covering, and they pull it down. No, the protective covering is for the protection.
So hold on. I want to go back to a little bit more about COVID jail, first of all.
Yeah. Wait, is my shirt, is? Can you read
this? I was about to
say,
though, that's a beautiful shirt, a garment you're wearing.
Is it backwards or you read it forward?
I read it forwards. It says, very famous in New York. The Cypher Sounds mantra.
The mantra. But it's not just me. I'm not the only one who's very famous. You're very famous. And you.
Who? All me? Or you mean them?
Them, baby. We're all famous. Because if you're from New York, you fucking famous.
I like what you're doing here. I just wish the thing that's unfair is only you get to have the shirt and no one else.
Funny you say that. Tuesday, which is tomorrow or whenever you're listening to this.
Okay.
I'm launching this shirt. Very famous in New York. Shirts, T-shirts, and hoodies. This is a test run of, I don't like to say merch because merch sounds dirty, but this is a test run of a brand that I'm starting, that the Wannette brand will come from this whole formula. Mm. And this is all a shout out to my boy Westside Gunn, who convinced me to do this, from Griselda, who's the merch master.
Now,
so coming out Tuesday, yes, December 20-something, maybe 22nd, dropping this, very famous in New York. Don't get it or get it. I don't care.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was scared no one else could have it but you. and it's nice anyway, now to know that others could have it. Now, by the way, though, if you want to keep it like West Side Gunn, you got to do it for a limited run only.
Oh, it's limited run.
They got to disappear.
Yeah, it'll be gone. After the 27th, 28th, it's gone.
And then that one's never available again, and then you just hope to get the next one.
This one's never, ever available again, except maybe in a different color.
Now, is that the New Yorker font for the New Yorker?
No. Why would you say that?
Is that the font of a, like, that would remind people of a classic publication from New York?
I don't know what publications are. I don't read.
Got it. Where can people get those?
Look, you're going to go on my Instagram, link in bio, cyphersounds.com. I got it all set up. Honestly, I'm being honest with you. You people will know this. You're the real Wannette is Dead fans. I'm doing a limited run. This is literally a test run to figure out the system so we can get this Wannette shit up.
The Wannette game needs to be crazy.
I got the right squad, I think. I'll know on Tuesday when it launches, and if I get everything in order. I've been speaking to a lot of good people. I got some really big ideas. I want all this. Wannette is making me so excited right now. I love that we're talking more. We're emailing. We're going through things.
Yeah.
I like what's happening. And this is literally the start of, if you want to support Wannette and you yell at me at an airport or at a venue or in the street, and you want, this is it. This is going to be the start of us giving. It's not about the money. I swear to God, it's not about the money. I really don't care. Dave, I work with Dave Chappelle. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, I met him years ago. And
okay. Yeah.
Bro, his shows are so powerful. Yes, funny on surface. Funny. Hilarious. The messages behind what this man says is so powerful that you want to walk away with something from the night. And he barely does merch. And I hate the term merch, but I want to leave with something to remember this night. And that's how I feel, Wannette fans. Like, I want something. Let me rep that I fuck with you guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like the $30. It's not, no one's getting rich off this shit. It's because you always ask for it. So I'm building the infrastructure. You're working on all this podcast stuff. I want to build the infrastructure for
this. So take me through what happened.
Love it.
When you go into the studio.
And make a movie out of it.
How well do you know them? And are people wearing masks at first, but then you take them off when you start the show? Like, what happened?
Yeah. So there's these kids. There's a guy out here. He's a good friend of the you know, our squad, the circle. And he has a company, but upstairs of his company, he has a small production room where he does live streaming, green screen, stuff like that. So me and my boy Will Sylvans are starting this other podcast. It's called Talk Clearlier. And we do this thing where we break down hip-hop lyrics in a very funny way with guests. So Jerobi's out here. Shout out to Jerobi from A Tribe Called Quest. We ask him to come down. He's got some friends that live out here. They came with us. So it's about six or seven of us. We go to this spot. The kids are around our circle. So they, you know, looking back, we shouldn't have assumed, but we assumed they were testing. Like I said, we get tested every day. I took my wristband off, but we get tested every day. And I assumed they were getting tested every day. Apparently, they weren't. We go into the studio. We do a podcast. We're there for about an hour and a half.
Mask off.
when we're talking, yeah, mask off. I wear it when I go in the spot. Me, Jarobi, and Will Silvins. We all know we're COVID free. We've been together for the last couple of days. We do this podcast. Leave the podcast. Go to the show. I'm in the green room waiting to go on. We're about 20 minutes from getting on. Tour manager comes back there and goes, What was this podcast you did today? So I was like, oh, this is not a good approach. Something went horribly wrong. I'm thinking maybe I said something that was a secret.
And you've been there before. You know? Yeah, you thought you were having flashbacks. What'd you say? What'd you say on the podcast?
I think I said something, some internal secret about the show, or maybe I said something about Joe Rogan. And he goes, yeah, the kids that run that studio, the two DJs that run that studio, tested positive. And they're like, you're off the show. You gotta go lock down you have to get three negatives in a row before we could even consider bringing you back on the show. So
and you're where now? In what city?
Austin, Texas.
This is in Austin. Okay.
Yeah, Austin, Texas. So I have to me, Will, the DJ Trauma, Jarobi, my intern Damani, and maybe one other person have to go just sit down. We have to go sit down for a little while. So yeah, we just went over, we just stayed away. We went and tested before everyone else tests. We would go in early, we would just leave right away, email us the results so we don't have to wait around. And we just, you know, laid low.
And you got everyone was negative for several
negative.
Days.
Everybody was negative. I got the antibody test. I still got antibodies from when I had COVID in March. So I'm like a superhuman. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that powerful.
I'm glad you said that because I took an antibody test the other day.
Uh-huh.
And the first one came back negative. But this was like a more intense one. And then they were also testing for a regular one.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a little, I guess, less discerning. And I didn't hear back yet on that one.
For negative for antibodies.
Yeah, and I had them this summer.
You had the Roni.
I guess, because I tested positive for antibodies this summer.
Oh, shit. 2020 AIDS, baby.
Now, question for you. I emailed this doctor, texted him yesterday, said, hey, doctor, any update on the other test? Hope you're well. No response. Mm. What's your follow-up move when you're like, hey, answer me, bitch.
What time of day was this?
It was at 1:20 yesterday.
On a Saturday?
Yep.
Nah, you got to wait till Monday.
Wait till Monday?
Yeah, who is you?
All right. I'll wait till
who
Monday.
Who is you?
No, who is you is a good point. And that's a very good point.
Billy, write that down. New shirt. Who is you? Coming is out. You? Coming out on Sife Zelda Records.
Sife Zelda? Ooh. I think that really could work.
Yo, are we going to talk hip-hop or what?
Yeah, let's talk about the rap. Because there's a few rappy things to discuss, in my opinion. Yeah.
First and foremost, shout out to everybody checking out the new Juan Epp is Dead podcast. Your comments and concerns, I don't know, maybe a strong go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Like a strong
Wait, one. you got comments and concerns?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you hear?
Oh, be consistent this time, guys. Don't slack. Get your schedules together. Yo, shut the fuck up.
Yo, is that really what people were saying? Are these, like, in your comments?
Yes. And DMs. So happy you're back. Make sure you don't fuck it up this time. Guess what? We will fuck it up. That's what we do. We're that uncle. We're drunk uncle. Come around holidays. You love us. And then we out, baby. The road is my wife.
Well, here's some comments on the Juan Epp is Dead page from the Mano clip of many years.
Yo, years ago. Years ago.
Years ago.
Years ago.
He said, years ago joke was classic Juan Epp material. Felt like watching Seinfeld reunion on Curb. Never lost your touch. That's from Bam Beats.
Ooh, Bam Beats. Yeah, he always hits.
Now, Poizady, I'm botching his name, said, Cypher Sounds got fat. Fourth meal? Set up Patreon. I'll pay to keep Juan Epp alive. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Laughing faces. Years ago.
I'll accept all fat jokes for Patreon.
You don't mind. You don't mind fat jokes if it involves people signing up for Patreon.
I don't mind at all.
Can that be the Patreon? For this tier, you could just make fat jokes to Sife whatever you want. Now, listen, if Billy June was the one deciding the Patreon for fat jokes to Sife, it would be like, for a quarter, you can call Sife fat. For 50 cents, you could yell at him on the street. And for a dollar, you could just go shit on his lawn. That would be the Billy June breakdown. Because when I saw his ideas for pricing on Patreon, it was like it was almost as if you and I were homeless and just holding a cup. Like, don't get me wrong, we want to make some money, but damn. Hey, yo, Ebro commented on our One Ep is Dead post. Did we got a follow? That's big.
What did Ebro say?
He wrote, it was the us singing Show Me That Smile. And Old Man Ebro commented, that version is terrible. And that version is terrible. It almost right, sounded like raps. It was it. All right, hold on. I'm just going through the comments, then we'll get to the raps. A lot of love here. So wait, Billy June, I want to bring in Billy June. Because we have to. It wouldn't be one ep if we didn't review immediately after one episode. So Billy June, come make yourself available for a second. We don't have to see you. We could just hear you. No, I'm kidding. You can be visible.
Now I'm here. I turned off the video.
How would you say the interaction has been? Now I'm looking right now. The One Ep is that account. We're only at 1,500 followers, so we got to get that up.
Yes, we do.
But how active are people being from a DM standpoint? What are you hearing from people? You want to read us some DMs?
Yeah, I'll read you some.
Sife, I don't know about you. I know you normally ask for everything. I have not yet asked Billy June for login information. So as far as I know, he's going fully rogue with this account.
It might be.
You haven't looked, have you?
No, not in the comments, no.
So Billy June, what are you seeing in the DMs?
There was someone that said stop with the old hip-hop talk and talk some new shit.
Okay. Really? How about suck my... Okay, keep going.
Yeah.
There was someone that said bring on comedians.
Okay, that'll happen.
Working on it.
And there's going to Sife's going to have his own comedy podcast, all right? But hold tight. Okay.
And then a lot of people said, how can I help and I'll do anything and be a part of it.
A lot of people said that term verbatim, you're saying. Someone copy and pasted that comment.
There were multiple messages asking how they could help with the podcast.
And the people that said, how can we help? We'll do anything. Were any of them girls with big chimichangas?
No, quite the opposite.
Got it. Okay. Well, the feeling that I got, Sife, was one of general happiness, it seemed, from people.
Yes.
They feel that it something feels different this time.
Technology, maybe?
No, like the commitment to it feels different.
That's what I'm saying, but that's because of technology.
Correct.
You don't have to be in the same place at the same time.
Yo, when I tell you, and listen, we're not going to spend show after show. Well, yeah, we probably will. Complaining about mistakes we made in the past. But getting together, having to go meet at a business office in the middle of the day,
yeah,
downtown, versus like, yo, you could just roll over me in my Repug St. Pete hotel. And Sife, where are you right now? Dallas?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
You're back in Austin already. Okay, apologies. You're back from Dallas.
Yeah.
Now, do you live in Austin full time?
Sorry?
You live in Austin full time?
Yeah, this is where I live now. This is my home. You know what I'm saying? I gave up my Vermont crib. I'm out here in Austin. I'm hooking it up. I'm over at Terry Black's Barbecue on a regular. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting that sushi from Uchi. You know what I'm saying? Uchi, Wally Wally, Uchi, Bang Bang.
By the way, have you been to Style Switch yet?
No, not yet.
Can you go today to get barbecue, please? Please. Please.
No, we can't go today. It's over. The trip's over.
It's over?
Yeah, go home tomorrow.
So, wait, that's tomorrow, though. What about today?
Well, we have a family lunch we're doing.
family lunch. Show.
Yeah.
Where's
we
that?
Got a big squad out here.
So, like,
I
is
can't
it
tell you?
Got it. But is that a restaurant or something?
Yeah.
So were you not there the other day when I saw there was a picture of The Undertaker with Dave Chappelle?
That was the day I got kicked out. I saw him walk in, and I saw everybody freaking out. I saw everybody getting excited. I was like, who's that? That's The Undertaker. That's The Undertaker. And then my boy was like, yo, FaceTime West Side Gunn right now. He will love you. And then we saw the tour manager come beeline for us. And I was like, that's not a sexy walk. What's about to happen? He goes, you guys, out of here.
Oh, that sucks. Hey, at least The Undertaker, they should have The Undertaker throw you guys out. So I saw you were tuned in very intently to the Griselda title show on Friday.
Only because I was on COVID lockdown. So I got to be in my room. I threw on my iPad. I didn't know what it was. I thought, first of all, I'm a huge Griselda fan now, and I never thought I would be. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
A lot of people were telling me about Griselda a long time ago, years ago.
Okay. How long ago? Okay.
Years ago. Okay. And I listened to a couple of joints. I was like, bro, this is way too slow for me. Way too slow. Like, I can't even listen to this. It's so slow. It's boring. And
how long ago was this?
Years ago. Now, when were they, like, hanging around Bronson?
Like, honestly?
3 years ago?
It was years ago.
Well, I come out of the Comedy Cellar one night. You know, I work over at the Comedy Cellar.
I've heard that.
And it's in the Village. And when I'm hosting in the summertime, I'll bring up the comedian on stage, and then I'll go stand outside. And it's funny because inside the Comedy Cellar, no comedians have any idea about my history or that I'm very famous in New York or any of that shit. But I'll stand outside, and people walking by will be like, yo, Scythe, don't get gas. What you doing here? So it's like, let me go stroke my ego outside inside is treating me like trash.
Right.
So I walk up the steps, and I see Bronson shirtless, mind you, eating falafel from Mahmoud's next door.
Well, that's why he was shirtless. He didn't want to get the sauce.
You don't want to get the sauce on the shirt.
By the way, a very different Bronson. He is a fully different human being.
I know.
Crazy.
I've seen it. It's nuts. So he's out there with like 6-7 goons, and he's like, yo, this is West Side Gunn, and this is Conway, and then some other, their goonies. And I was like, oh, I said, I'm happy to meet y'all. I don't know the music, but I hear everybody talking about y'all, and I'm like super proud of you. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, thanks, man. That's dope. OG, legend, all that. You know, people give me that OG legend talk. I'm like, I'm broke. A legend would have some kind of real estate or fucking some kind of 401k. But I met them then. And then years ago.
How? Okay.
Years ago.
Right.
And then so when the Griselda album came out, Dr. Bird's, that's the one that got, like, what I feel like it got, like, a push. It was on Shady.
Yep.
And it was a big video. And it was, like, you were more aware of it, even if you weren't in the underground club of the Griselda movement. And I just kept hearing about it. That's what I like about them so much. Everybody talks about them. So I'm playing Dr. Bird, and I'm in Europe. I'm in London with Dave. And Dave's like, what's that? He's like, that shit sounds great. He goes, he's thinking it's from years ago.
Right.
He's thinking it's a song from years ago. What's this throwback? I never heard. I said, no, this is out now. And his face was like, yo, they making music like this now? So he's loving it. He puts it on his phone. He's loving it. Did I tell you the Buffalo story already? I was in Buffalo
I
was headlining. I was headlining a comedy club.
Okay.
Years ago. No, it's actually the top of this year. I'm headlining a comedy club in Buffalo, and I put a little video. I see some kids. I see some kids letting out of a high school across the street from my hotel. So I put the Griselda beat, and I'm just taping these kids through the window like, look at these goons. Look at these coke selling.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, I remember those posts. Yep.
So I tag West Side Gun and whoever else, and West Side hits me. That's why I love this guy, man. I love this guy. He hits me, and he's like, yo, you in Buffalo? I say, yeah, there's no chance you're here, right? He goes, no, I'm not there, but he goes, what you need? You need anything? Yo, smoke, chicks, security. I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't need. Wait, do I need security? Like,
yeah.
Why is that? Why are you offering that?
Yeah.
Do I need security?
Are you the reason I need security?
He's like, where you at? I'm like, I'm at the comedy club downtown. He goes, nah, you should be all right.
Exactly.
And I go, you sure? He goes, yeah, it's cold. Ain't no goons outside right now. But anyway, so I go, oh, do you have somebody that can videotape the shows?
There we go.
He goes, yeah, I got somebody. Somebody's going to call you, bro. This kid called me instantly, like instantly. This kid named Camouflage Monk. He calls me. He goes, yeah, Wes told me to call you. I said, you got anybody to get tapes to the show? He goes, yeah. He brings down this white kid and like maybe like two other goons. And they come into the comedy club. The comedy club manager's like, I think these guys are here for you. Yeah, they're for me. They come in the back. The kid's filming the show. They love the show. They're having a great time. Two shows. They're laughing, having a fun time. The next night, he's like, yo, can I bring a couple people? I said, yeah. You know, it's not sold out. It's super cold. You know, we'll put you in the back. Like, eight people come. Like, eight Griselda-looking goonies.
Okay.
The manager's like, there's some guys here. I'm like, is it cool if they sit in the back? He goes, yeah, it's cool. We're not super sold out. But, you know, whatever. I'll get them some drinks, whatever. The next night, it had to be like 12, 14 guys.
Oh, it just got bigger. It just keeps getting bigger.
Bro, I'm waiting for wheelchair dude to roll up.
Oh, man.
For wheelchair dude.
But West Side Gun was never actually there for these.
He was never there, but, yo, stayed in contact, whatever. So we go to Europe. I'm sending him videos of Dave Chappelle walking off stage to his song. He's going nuts. He's loving it. So we just start talking. And, like, talking to him made me go listen to all the older shit. Mm. Bro, that shit is fire, man. Those kids are fire.
Well, so all of this adds up to now you're on COVID lock and you're going to spend your time with Griselda.
I didn't know what it was. It just said Benny the Butcher and the Machine, title Friday. So I'm thinking it's like an album. Maybe they did a joint album together. They weren't really saying what it was.
Yeah.
It just said Conway, the Butcher and the Machine, this Friday on Tidal, and I saw West Side do a drop, and so then I guess they put out a playlist on Tidal that day, earlier in the day, and I was listening to it, and I was like, I know these songs. This is not a new album. I thought it was like a new album, but it was just a playlist of some of their songs.
To set up for the live show.
So I set my alarm. I'm like, I'm going to be in my room because otherwise I would be in at the show. And I put it on, and it was fire.
How long did they play for?
They did like, if it came on 8 o'clock, your 7 o'clock for me, it was probably like an hour and a half of West Side.
Of Boom Boom Boom?
Sorry, of a lot of Boom Boom Booms. Of Conway and Benny the Butcher and Benny the Butcher. Did you watch it?
No. Friday, no. I was occupied Friday. If I had been sitting in this hotel room.
Man.
But by the way, there was a lot of hip-hop this weekend. So Friday there was that, and Chance had a live show.
Really?
Which was probably the exact opposite of the West Side, of the Conway Benny one. It was like a Christmas special.
So instead of boom, 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 it was like love, love, love.
Exactly. God, love. So by the way, I had a tough moment with Chance this week.
Really?
Yeah. Chance was on. We had an interview with him on Monday, and I said to him, yo, the way you love Christmas, because he loves Christmas, he just re-released his Christmas album with Jeremih, And like he's like, yo, I'm so into Christmas. You know, he has two kids now. He's like, I'm in dad Christmas mode.
Right.
And I'm
right.
like, yo, you're funny. You're kind of goofy, but cool. And I know you can act. I was like, yo, you could be the new Clark Griswold.
Ooh.
To which Chance replied, who's Clark Griswold?
Okay. And that boiled your blood a little bit.
It hurt my soul. It didn't boil my blood. It hurt my soul. I was like, and then Ebro's staring straight ahead, and he thinks Ebro's with him. Like, it's a cultural line. So right. he's like, Ebro, you know who Clark Griswold is? And Ebro goes, Clark Griswold? And so Chance like, see? And Ebro's like, well, of course, you don't know Clark Griswold? What's happening here? And then, you know, he hit me with the, well, you know, I was born in 93 or whatever.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. And you love Christmas.
I will admit, the movie did come out years ago.
No.
It came out years ago.
It did. Even Vacation, the first Vacation came out years ago.
Years ago.
And then European Vacation was also years ago.
Yeah.
Christmas Vacation. Still years ago, but not as many years ago.
Right.
And the thing is, Christmas movies, big Christmas movies are timeless. They really are. It's not like, they're not even like regular movies because they re-air during the holidays so often.
Right. Especially, like Christmas holiday, Christmas Vacation should have been in his zeitgeist.
So all I'm saying to you, beloved man who I'm so fond of, Chance the Rapper, I'm just saying Chance. You've been on SNL. Chance hosted SNL, I think.
Twice. Oh, no. He's been on, but he hosted, yeah.
They love you. The comedy world loves you. You've been on SNL, and you love Christmas. That's the only reason I'm thinking. So, anyways, it doesn't change my point, though.
I met Chance. I was DJing the SNL Christmas party.
Oh, my
God. After party. And he was I believe he was the musical guest at the time. And that's the first time I ever met him. This was years ago. And first time I ever met him. And
we'll get past this at some point. But I'm not going to lie, though. I didn't know. I didn't think when it happened that this was going to become the new I Like Turtles. I really didn't.
Absolutely. I knew right away.
You
I
did?
Heard it. I heard it. Yeah, the way he said years ago. Yeah.
Yo, Billy June. Billy June, we need a drop. I need you to edit the at least one or two years ago's from Mano and send them to
maybe like in a row, like put it in a row. Years ago. This was years ago.
I need try a couple things.
Yeah, so I'm DJing the SNL Christmas party.
Years ago.
Chance was the guest. And he comes downstairs. He's by the DJ booth, and he knew who I was. I'm always fascinated and super elated when a rapper who kind of came into the scene after I left Hot 97 knows me.
Yes.
It's like a really, really cool feeling, man. It's a really cool feeling. Like when I met Pop Smoke and guys like that. I'm long gone. I left Hot 97 years ago. But he comes next to me and I look at him and he looks at me and I'm playing like whatever, I'm playing some song and we're like, why are we here? And like, bro, there's like mega celebrities walking by.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's,
like
it's,
like those SNL parties are crazy anyway, but this is a Christmas one. So like mega celebrities. And me and him look at each other like, why are we here? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, yo, I'm so happy you're here, bro. He goes, yo, I'm happy you're here. You know, and like Donald Glover's walking by and Scarlett Johansson and like whoever, you know, who's your boy? The guy, Julio in the playground.
Paul Simon.
Oh, Paul Simon's just walking by.
Wow.
And we're just like, why are we here? How are we here?
Right.
And he's like, I don't know, man. But it was like the hip-hop guys, you know, had a look. We had a moment. We linked up. We had that moment. It was really dope.
So I truly believe Chance could be a like a Clark Griswold. I really do. And I encourage, if you're out there right now and you're listening and you have not seen the first three vacations, the original, just National Lampoon's Vacation, original. European to me is almost as good. And then Christmas, those three guys, especially if you're in the, I've noticed, like, a lot of people, and that myself included, are really going hard into the Christmas spirit this year because it's been such a bad year. So I think a lot of people are like, like, I put up lights in my house just to give a little vibe. I needed a vibe.
I just can't emphasize this enough.
Okay.
The Jewishness of you.
Right.
We go through this every year.
Right.
The Jewishness. How is this happening?
No, but it's worse now because I'm divorced, so I don't even have the reason, you know, up until a couple years.
Right, you don't have the Goya wife.
Right, because the Shiksa wife.
Sorry, I said Goya.
Goya was beans. It's Goy or Shiksa.
You don't have the Goy wife.
Right. Yeah. So
you don't have the Goy wife anymore, so why are you doing this?
Right, because when we were together and getting Christmas trees, I'm talking years ago.
Years ago.
The Christmas tree, and then I didn't think about, amongst all the sad things about the breakup, I didn't think about losing Christmas.
Mm.
Like, I was married into the most beautiful, the most Gentile, most Gentile you could be. And the Christmas vibe was so strong. And I don't want to lose Christmas. But it's very hard. I believe it's very hard for me personally to pull the trigger on, like, a Christmas tree or stockings without a Gentile living in my home.
Right.
I think that's a hard
bridge.
It's otherwise, and I try to explain this to Michael K, because the producer of the Michael K show, my buddy Andrew Gundling, he's married to a Jewish woman. They have two children. Mm-hmm. They're Jewish, not observant, but they're Jewish.
Yeah.
His wife wants a tree. And Andrew's like, yo, we're both Jewish. There's no tree. And right. Michael K doesn't understand this. And I have to jump in and go, listen, you don't get it. If your family is Jewish, part of the experience of being Jewish is that you don't have a Christmas tree. That's like part of what defines you as being different. Like, that's what being Jewish is in America. You don't get the Christmas tree. It shapes you. It makes you angry and bitter and jealous, sad, lonely. All feelings that are essential to this upbringing.
Yeah.
So now, this year of all years, I was like, it's been sad. I want my place to feel like holiday-ish and glowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So instead of a tree, I just went to Duane Reade. I got some lights and I put them up around the window and next to the jukebox. And then every year I put in my jukebox, I re-up fresh Christmas songs.
Okay, good for
and
you.
And I make the little jukebox labels. You can print them with the Christmas things on them so you know that's a Christmas selection.
Right, little Christmas tree.
I put in Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time. I put in John Lennon, Happy Christmas. I put in Donny Hathaway, This Christmas. Some Jackson 5, Christmas. It's a vibe.
I have the perfect solution for you.
Go ahead.
I don't understand. You can get a tree. Your little man is half Goy.
Who?
Bear.
Mmm.
Bear needs a tree.
Yo, I never even thought about that.
Well, you think Bear's Jewish?
No, he's certainly half.
He's at least half.
That's a great point. And when anyone asks, yo, you got a tree or you got divorced? I go, my son. They're like, you had a kid? No, my bear. Bear's.
Yeah, little Bear's Jewish. I mean, he's half Jewish, half Christian.
Right. He's got to have both. By the way, that's a great thought by you. Next year, I'm getting the tree. Fuck it.
Get the tree.
I put up a mix on my Rosenberg Radio podcast of just Christmas music. Yo, Christmas music's a genre.
Why, man?
I don't know.
Who
I told
wants
you.
That? Who
I'm
wants that?
No, there's good songs. There's good songs. I'm not just talking. These were Christmas originals, not. It's not like, you know, the most basic. It's not Silent Night.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this. The Donny Hathaway, This Christmas is fire. The Jackson 5 is fire. I can't believe that Feliz Navidad was actually an original song. I have trouble believing that songs that are such staples were like that there was a time they didn't exist.
Right. It was no cover. It was actually someone.
Yeah, like in 1970, he just put that song out because now it's just it's part of our lexicon, like permanently part of the zeitgeist, if you will.
I won't.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. Do you now? Do you don't like Christmas music? You don't do any. What do you like about Christmas?
Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing. Nothing. The only one thing I would say I liked about Christmas was the day off aspect.
That's tremendous.
The day off aspect was a big deal. I would alternate. I would do one year I would go with the family and just bite the bullet, and then one year I'm like, I'm staying here. You go handle your business. I'm sitting here. I'm watching movies. I always Christmas. I would watch a movie, a classic movie I've never seen before.
But not a Christmas movie.
No, I would watch a classic, like an Oscar-winning film from the 70s or 80s that I never saw. Like last year, I watched Space Odyssey 2001, which I never really saw.
I never really seen it. How was it?
It's kind of weird.
Okay.
Not that great. But yeah, so I do that. But Christmas is nothing. I don't like the music. I don't like the decorations.
I have to ask you this. Do you have a tree?
This year, I let them rock with a tree, yeah.
Good for you. Attaway, Sife Griswold. Don't fight
Vermont, it. We got a lot of space.
Don't fight it. And you know, and by the way, let everyone choose. Let everyone choose.
Bro, that's the thing. I'm not telling you to feel how I feel.
Right.
I tell you how I feel. You make your own choice.
Right.
You make your own choice. And when my daughter gets to an age where she's like now she asks me, but she doesn't really understand. But she asked me one day, why don't you celebrate Christmas? I'll break it down. And you take that information
now,
and do with it what you want.
Are you giving them gifts?
No. I don't celebrate the birth of the Christian Lord. I don't know him.
But
it's
they
like
will
celebrate.
They will
it's like
receive
celebrate
gifts.
The birth of the guy next door in the next hotel room. I don't know him. Why would I celebrate his birthday?
So they will get gifts, but not from you.
Correct.
I respect it.
People's brains explode when you're like, but what about the kids? You taught your kids about Christmas. Christmas is not a natural birth right. You know what I mean? Like, you taught your kids what this day is. And then you go, but what about the kids? What about the kids? What about them? They're good.
Now, when did you have Christmas as a kid?
Yeah, I had Christmas until I was 17 years old.
And then you said, nah, fuck this. I don't believe in this.
Yeah, I remember the feeling I would have the night before Christmas waiting to open those gifts. And I'd be like, And as I got older, I realized, like, yo, that's greed. That's selfishness. That's fucking an addiction. You know what I mean? All the bad things, like that feeling where I can't sleep.
Right. And you were like, I've already got so many problems. Why do I want to choose to add this one? But just dealing with food on a daily basis is enough. Yeah. It's never ending. The food thing's never ending for me. I wonder how many people really take time to appreciate, like, the level of addiction we have to the food. My moods are so dictated by it. It'll be a struggle. I think for people like you and me, it's our entire life. It will never end.
Never ending battle.
You're never going to get to a place where you're just like constantly even, and you eat whatever you want, but your portions are so controlled that you weigh a perfect weight. It's never going to happen. It's going to be fat season, thin season. Our whole lives.
Can't be. That's not healthy, man. It can't be that.
Well, listen. I think you get to a point. Here's where I think your best case scenario lies. you learn your lines enough that you generally stay within a doable range.
That's where I live.
And as long as that range is doable, I think you're good from a health standpoint. You can't be straight up ballooning and getting skinny. That's
no.
Like
I'm only talking about health. I'm not talking about looks. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about fashion.
And you're not even talking about just the mental health. You're talking about the physical health of it.
Hell, your body, like, bro, you got to, like, your heart is not going to be able to handle this up and down, left and right shit. You know what I mean? You're like, it's a physical thing.
So I dropped down. My weight that I got to at my best during this pandemic was, like, 176, which for me, I haven't weighed 176. At my wedding, I got down to, like, 183.
Yeah.
I went to 176, and now, even though I'm still trying my best, I'm up to, like, 184. But you could turn around. Saif, here's the problem. I know you know this. I don't get to share this with many people. You get up to, like, if you get up, I was at 205. I went all the way to 176 over 6 months. It wasn't like, I took my time. 176 was super hard to stay at. Super hard.
Yeah.
I end up in the mid-180s. Cool. But if I then fuck around and go on a vacation where I say, fuck it, it's over. I'm all the way back. That one vacation would take me from 185 to when I get back, I'm like, oh, I'm 196, 197.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so fast. It's so hard. Why are we like this?
Here's my problem. Why are we like this? First of all, I got a couple issues. One, guys, you wanted this. You wanted us to come back. Well, we're here. This is what it is. Two, somebody I can't stand in life.
Who?
Someone I don't want to. I'm every day I want to press that unfollow button, and I don't do it because of my friendship with this person. But I might have to mute him. I can't take this Juanito shit, bro. I can't take it. I can't take fucking Juanito, a.k.a. Lance Armstrong bullshit. I don't want it.
Wait, Saif.
I don't want it.
Wait, you think it's bad for you? First of all, he's referring to Juanito, who's of course, you know if you've been listening forever, he's a friend of ours and produced on this show. He's been around forever, and he produces on the morning show. Yo.
I don't want it.
Every day, Juanito and Ebro, maybe not, if not every day, every other day, talk about where he's at with his weight loss. That part I'm cool with. But Saif, when they go into their bike talk.
What is happening?
Yo, I know that you've been running. Yo, if you start talking to me about running and the shoes you have and shut the fuck up, man.
Bro,
go work out. I don't. No one wants to hear the intimate details.
I hate your fucking helmet. I hate your helmet. I hate your pictures on the fucking Tappan Zee Bridge, which is now the Mario Cuomo Bridge. I hate your pictures on the fucking bridge with your half skull helmet. I'm going to take that helmet and I'm going to fucking beat you to death with it. With his sunglasses and his helmet. With his sunglasses and his fucking helmet. Like he's doing the Tour de France.
Yo, by the way.
Fuck out of here.
Why is biking the only sport where in order to do it, you have to dress up as if you're a professional? Yo, I don't go to the basketball court and wear matching basketball shorts and tank top with a headband on and
what
shoot.
What is he doing? What is he wearing? What is he wearing? Some spandexy?
They wear the whole fucking uniform, bro.
Ugh.
And Ebro's even worse. Ebro, the abominable hype beast, he's wearing a fucking Supreme biker shirt and the fucking pants. Both of them are big dudes. These big
ass men.
Are they clipping
in?
They're clipping.
Are they clipping in?
Oh, and they're talking about the clipping. Oh, you get the clips? You got to get the clips. How's your clip? You got to clip in with the clip. The clip, the clip. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Listen, I'm not into biking. And not only that, not only am I not into it, if you're not a biker, I just want to say this clearly.
Yeah.
If you're a biker out there and you're listening to the show, I hate you. In every part of my life, When I'm in the suburbs in Maryland and you're riding on the street and I have to go 15 miles an hour because you have to pretend that your activity is the same as driving a car, it's fucking not.
It's not.
And then even fucking worse, and it's, Sife, it's worse now than ever during the pandemic, in the streets of New York where you're jumping and dodging them like fucking Frogger.
Yeah.
Like, yo, Sife, I see people dressed up in the full outfit doing their rides in Manhattan. I'm like, wait, you can't do this bullshit on the FDR or the West Side? Get out of the middle of Manhattan with your Tour de France bullshit.
Get out of here. How much? What's happening?
Oh, great. Billy June's first time booking a guest on the show as producer. Oh, this is good. Here he is. Very, very exciting. You managed to get Greg LeMond himself. Lance Armstrong. Lanceito Armstrong.
Is that what's happening?
Well, it says Juanito appeared here. Oh, there he is.
What's up, guys? Love you guys.
Hey, Juanito.
What up, guys?
We're sick of hearing about your fucking bike and your fucking amazing weight loss. It's enough.
I'm in Texas right now, but I'm coming home tomorrow. And I'm going to drive my car to the Tappan Zee Bridge, and I'm going to wait for you, and then I'm going to run you over because I hate your fucking bike posts. I hate your helmet. I hate your spandex.
No, Sife, don't do that, Sife. Wait on the Tappan Zee for him, and when you see him coming, just open your fucking car door and just smack him with your door.
No. You know what? Matter of fact, I'll meet you at the Tappan Zee. Let me know when you get there, and then on January 1st, I'm going to hit you with the button because you're out in the fucking cold on the Tappan Zee Bridge when it's like below 30 negative degrees, like an a-hole. Yeah, okay, go do that. Yeah, you do that, and I'll be home.
All right, get rid of Juanito. Juanito, listen, we hate you. Congratulations on your weight loss, and your mic sounds like shit, so we're going to go now. But he has lost an amazing amount of weight. He looks great.
I don't give a shit.
I agree. No, I agree. Fuck him. Now, listen, there's a couple other things.
I don't give a shit. I'm sorry. Listen, we're off the rails. Also, fuck a Obama playlist.
Yeah, so Billy
Jean. Why? What's happening?
By the way, there's nothing. You know, I love Obama.
So nothing, do I.
Nothing I care about less than his fucking playlist, which is not even
is
real.
It's who you think he made that list.
It's such horseshit.
Perfectly curated and balanced with every genre, and everyone is represented. A multicultural, beautiful rainbow of a playlist. Who the fuck listens to music like that?
It's so crazy and such bullshit. I'm looking at Billy's thing here. Oh, there's Obama's playlist.
Did you meet Obama? You ever met him?
No, have you?
No, he's somebody I really want to meet.
Well, I just, you know me well. So, actually, this is a good segue because I want to get into two more topics. One, so this stupid shit that I was involved in this past week. And two, I want to mention one more thing about music, Sife. So, don't let me forget, and then we'll wrap this up, okay?
Yeah.
So you asked if I never met him. Yo, this guy just did a fucking media run for his book. He did everyone's shit.
Yeah.
Everyone but our show. It was basically, he might as well have taken out his presidential schlong and shoved it right in our face. Yeah. It was so crazy, Sife.
On the way to the Breakfast Club, you get hit with the fucking dick.
Oh, by the way, the Breakfast Club, I don't even. Yes, of course, everything like that annoys me because I'm a competitive guy. But that didn't even bother me. That was like, they're big. They're huge.
Yeah.
No, he was doing, I'm not kidding. He was doing YouTubers. Like, jumping on people's YouTube channels. People's Twitter. People on Twitter. He did everything but us. It was. And I don't want to cast blame or aspersions. I don't really know who to blame. But that was frustrating because I would honestly, I'd feel the same way. I don't even fuck the interview. Let's keep it real. I didn't watch one of the interviews. No one gives a shit. The man's been interviewed a gazillion times. Everyone just wants to meet him. You just want to have the moment, right? That's it.
Just want to meet him.
Like, the only one I'd be curious to watch of the interviews was Deez's and Mero, which I haven't watched yet, just because they're funny and I'm curious to see how they'd play with him. Besides that, no one gives a fuck about his interview. Like, oh, well, what do you think about that? He talks seriously about the nation. No one gives a shit.
Yeah. It's over.
It's over. But I would love to meet him and just have that moment because he's so important.
The moment you had with Larry David, imagine that with Obama. You know what
I mean? That would
be your Larry David story. Your Larry David moment to me is like
it's the best. Amazing. You know what? I'm glad you did that. You know what you just did? You just took what I was the envy I was dealing with, the jealousy, and you replaced it with gratitude. Because that moment, and you're like one of the only people who really understood it, was like I always thought about you because you had the most half-assed Larry David moment of all time. It was amazing because you got to meet him, but the picture was even fucking blurry. Like, I felt like we almost got there, and he's such an enigma that you didn't want to respect him, so you had to rush.
Yeah.
And that's how I always knew it would be. I'm like, if I ever see him, it's going to be just like Seif, where it's amazing because you meet him, but I'm so respectful that it'll just be like, ah, hi. And because of luck and someone else's relationship, just like, by the way, you've gotten to have with many other iconic
people. Yes. Absolutely.
Iconic people. Michael Kay, in this case, was my Dave Chappelle and gave me the in to get to have like the, yo, just sit and build with the guy.
Yeah.
Now, in classic Rosenberg fashion, I want to take it too far. I want to, when I go to L.A. sometime, ask Michael to tell him I'm coming out there and see if he wants to play golf. I want to have him say no. So instead of it being a positive experience, just ruin it at the end.
He might not say no, man.
The thing is, though, we actually legit hit it off. I think he'd say yes. I think he'd say he found my life to be very interesting.
I that's what I'm saying. The way you told me it went down, man, I think you could get it.
He's such a regular. But then I got to be honest. But then it's like, well, but also, I don't need to do it. It would be like playing. I feel like it would be playing golf with some other Jewish guy I really like. I mean, like he's a great regular guy, but like I annoyed him a little bit at first with how much I brought up Jewish stuff. He doesn't love being pounded on the Jewish stuff.
Right.
Because it's and I relate to it. I relate on a micro level. When people come up to me and literally just go, yo, I'm a Jew, I'm like,
okay.
We're in New York. I'm like, I would live in New York, buddy. Everybody's a Jew. Yeah. What are you talking about? If I lived in fucking
Kansas or something.
In Topeka, then we could have a real moment over being a Jew. But I'm in Queens. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is not the same thing. You know what I'm anyways. I did have a stupid social media back and forth this week.
Again.
Another one. And I may have challenged someone to a boxing match. But it came from a good place. It came from a good place. I never took it seriously. I know the reason. Fucking academics really bothers me.
Oh, I saw you wrote his name somewhere.
Yeah. The guy really bothers me. He thinks, of course, this is what people do when you call them out for something. He turns it all into success and money and you're jealous and you don't want the young guy to shine and what, I bought my mom a house and I did it. And what he fails to not recognize is that part, why would that bother me? Like, it doesn't bother me at all. The only thing that bothers me is what you're doing with the platform to get there. And I've been where he is before in the sense that you have a lot of people shouting at you about what you do. And it's easy to get defensive. I would too. But in the quiet hours, maybe think about why all these people are shouting something. Is there any validity to what they're saying?
Right.
So after I did the whole back and forth with them, where, because I mean, Sife, you know, I used to talk crazy on the air, like at the beginning when I didn't understand. This dude's tone that he takes with people from like his basement, his tone is so crazy. And we worked at Complex at the same time. Uh-huh. And I saw him in the hallway and said hey to him. He's a real life like scared nerd who's like and he's not that guy in real life. So my angle was I acknowledge I'm not that guy fully. I don't talk with big bass in my voice. I don't want to fight anyone. But you, him, I'm actually you're the one person I wouldn't be scared of. But if you talk with bass like that, let's have a celebrity boxing match. Let's fight. Okay. So he responds and says, no, if you want to fight me, send me a DM. We'll pick a gym. No cameras. We'll just go do it privately.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What's the point of that? The point is not that I actually want to beat you up. The point would be to have a public sparring so you could see that your loud, bassy voice gets smacked in public. That's the point.
Right.
I don't have personal animosity towards you. I don't want to physically fight you. But when you talk crazy, and I had to learn this in many ways, listen, at some point you're going to learn. I was offering you the opportunity to have the lesson learned against someone who's really not very dangerous. I can't hurt anyone. But
what does he say? I don't listen to anything he does.
It's really hard to explain. He sort of traffics his whole brand is pumping up beef between art, like street shit. Like he sits there and analyzes street beef. Mm-hmm. You know?
Like rappers?
Yeah, like up and coming, like these fucking up and coming rappers who are dying over ridiculous beefs.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who talks about and propagates these and agitates this situation. I'm not I'm not remotely saying he's like responsible for recent shit. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's the nature of it in general. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, the biggest piece and tool to helping Tekashi was academics. He kind of built up the whole whole Tekashi thing completely. One thing I will not do with Juan App is talk about fucking 6ix9ine. But
So you don't like Puerto Ricans?
He's Mexican.
Wow. Is he Mexican? deleting all his songs right now.
Anyways, the whole thing was stupid, but I gotta tell you, I kind of actually liked how I handled it. I wasn't – normally I get, like, loud and say things, and I'm immediately regretful. I actually thought I did it tongue-in-cheek, and it was funny. And then I actually hit him on DM. And I was like, yo, bro, I'm not trying to fight you. Honestly, I'm just trying to tell you that the reason people get upset at you is because of the way you use your platform. And maybe – I said – and I admit my tone probably wasn't kind, and I'm working on that. I admit that. But maybe you want to listen a little bit to the things people are saying because there are people who are going to be upset who are not me.
Bro, once I hear something three times, I start over analyzing. Like, why is this being said to me? Somebody's seeing something.
Yo, you know I had one recently. My friend Allison just told me she was talking about how I used to be cheap. And I was like, I used to be cheap? And then I thought about you. I'm like, well, Sife used to say I was cheap.
Yeah.
And then I thought about a couple other friends who used to make that joke. And my ex-wife used to have moments where she'd be like, all right, babe, chill. Like, why don't you – don't – you always have to make a big deal about the check coming. Like, just grab the check. We know you have the money. And I was like – and I had to really process. Like, wait a second. If all these people who care about me – now, in this case with academics, maybe it's different because – well, yeah, Kara Jace, right, not you, people.
Care about
if all these people who I have relationships with and care are all being like, yo, you're cheap, maybe you were actually being cheap.
There you go.
And it's hard to accept that because
– There you go.
Because in my mind, I'm like, but I give money to people. I over tip. I'm like, no, I'm not cheap. But all those things doesn't mean that I'm not cheap sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like the Letarian thing. I was cheap. I think – how much – what do you want to get him again? Xbox?
A Wii. I think it was a Wii, right?
And how much would that have cost?
I think it was – I think the thing was – I think it was like $300 and you had to give me $150.
I could have afforded $150 even back then. I guess I didn't think we'd get here, Saif. We're recording this not on a Saturday this week, a Sunday morning.
Why?
December 20th, 2020, at 11:54 a.m. I would like to say I am sorry for the Letarian Milton Wii situation. You were right. I should have paid $150. I was cheap. In my defense, I had never made any money before, but I was cheap.
Yeah. Man, who cares? That was years ago, man. Years ago.
All right, bye. If you've made it to the very end of the episode, please go rate and comment. That's important. That's how we do it. Subscribe on everything. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on your iTunes. Subscribe everywhere and tell a friend and tell a friend.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.